Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll just reread some words from Luke chapter 2. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Dear friends, before we dwell on who he is, let's answer the question, who we are, by asking, who was Bethlehem at the time? Maybe that's the first order of business. When the young couple first came to Bethlehem, no one was more despised or lowly. They were expected to be pushed around until they were shoved into a stable. Who took care of them? How many people in the inn came out to just check on them in that cattle stall? How many cutthroats were lounging in that inn with zero thought for someone other than themselves? They didn't recognize what God was doing in the stable with all their eating and drinking and merriment. It wasn't a big deal for them if God left them empty and this comfort and treasure was hidden from them. Thus God shows he doesn't cater to the whims of the world, who they are, what they have, what they do. And the world shows that it doesn't consider God, who he is, what he has, and what he does. Joseph tried to do his best. Maybe he found a maid to fetch some water, but we're not told about anybody. We don't read that anyone came to help. They heard that the young wife was lying there, and no one lifted a finger. Shame on you, wretched Bethlehem. The inn ought to be burned with brimstone. Even if Mary were a beggar or a bum, their hearts should have softened enough to come out and give her a hand. The birth was pitiful. Here's a mommy with her firstborn. She didn't know what to do. How many times had she done this before? Maybe she'd seen it happen or been on hand when someone else was in the same situation, although not in such a lowly predicament. She herself was maid and midwife. She must have felt so alone. No light, no fire, in the dark of night, in thick darkness. The guests swarming in the inn, did they offer something to swaddle? Or, as in Luther's day, they put Joseph's trousers on display and, you know, venerated the relic as if that was what she used. We have no way of knowing whether that's true or not. Maybe it was her veil. However she swaddled him, the help was minimal, if at all. What about Mary? Who is she? Why didn't she lay Christ in a cradle or on a bench or table or something? Well, there was no cradle. There was no bench. There was no table. There was nothing but a little manger, an ox or a donkey's feeding trough. The first throne of the king. His last throne would be a cross as he lived this state of humiliation. There was a mother, a teenager without so much as a washroom, a sight for tears. Think, there was no one to bathe the baby. There was no one to heat the water. The cradle was both washtub and bed. It wasn't even a cradle, it was a manger. She never had a baby before. She was flesh and blood. She must have felt miserable. And Joseph, too. Because there they were with nothing, pushed aside, with no one, except the little voice of faith that Mary had. No one else had the faith that Mary had in all the world on that night. There was a voice, the voice of the angel that must have resounded in her mind. He should be called the Son of the Most High. Not even Joseph had the faith she had. He had an angel who had come and visited him, true, but I'm sure it didn't speak to his heart like it did to the mother of the Lord. Now we should answer who we are. How many of you now think to yourselves, if only I had been there, how generous I would have been in that moment. I would have offered them a golden carriage to get to the town of David, or at least my SUV. I would have been eager to trade my room. How quick I would have been to help with the baby. How happy I would have been to go with the shepherds to see this little child lying in the manger. Of course you would. You say that now because you know how great Christ is, but if you would have been there, you would have done no better than the people of Bethlehem. Childish and silly thoughts. Sinful thoughts. Why don't we do it now? You have Christ in your neighbor. You ought to serve him. For Christ tells us that when we serve our neighbor in need, it's as if we're serving Christ himself. What you do to your neighbor, you do to the Lord. We wallow in the sin of self-grandeur. We presume we would be the hero that Bethlehem needed that night. But we're not. And it's our fault. What Mary and Joseph did next, nobody knows. They probably adored. They must have marveled at this baby, at this fulfillment of promises that this was the child of God. That's who he is. He was also a real human being, a true baby, with flesh, blood, hands, and legs. There he is, wiggling in his mother's lap, kicking a little bit. He did what babies do. He cried, he slept, and everything else that goes along with being a baby. But tonight we might be tempted to consider the majesty, consider the awe, consider the glory, to doll this whole thing up, to romanticize it. It's worth all of our songs. Don't get me wrong. But tonight our task is not so much to adore God in heaven, or even that God became man, but to consider his flesh. Consider that this little tiny human being is true God, the baby Jesus. Divinity may terrify man. Inexpressible majesty will crush us. We brag a good game. We try not to think about our flaws, yet we do wrongs. And it's because of our sins, our crimes, that this baby came, that this one was born. That's why Jesus Christ took on our humanity. Not to terrify us, but to invite us, to console us, and to show his tender mercies from his very heart. On this holy night, doubt nothing. Laugh with the baby. Cry with a moist eye over the helplessness of it all. The newborn little boy, the Lord of peace, he puts your spirit at peace. You see how God invites you in so many ways? He places before you a baby that you can't fear. Who would be afraid of a tiny baby? And here's God. Here's the child in whom is salvation. What a sight. God made man. God made small. Peering up at his human parents. And at this moment already, he is crushing the power of sin, death, the unbelieving world, guilt, and the devil himself. It's already begun. What a glorious time to consider. What a glorious child to adore. What a wondrous thought to ponder over. Come to him and believe. He didn't come to judge you, but to save you, to show you his love, and you'll be glad with who you are, for you know who he is. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen.